It's beginning to rain, rain, rain in the voice of our Father. Saying, whosoever will come drink of this water, I promise to pour my spirit out on your sons and your daughters. If you're thirsty and dry, look up to the sky. It's beginning to rain.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars, inviting you to worship with us today at Bible Home Church, coming to you from Austin, Texas. Wonderful to be with you today. Let's start with a word of prayer today as we worship the Lord, and we're going to open up His great word and see what He has to say today. Lord Jesus, we want to thank You for being with us. We feel Your presence. And Lord, we thank You for all the blessings You've bestowed upon us, and we want You to know we will follow You no matter what the trials and tribulations, no matter how fiery they may be. We will follow You. We thank You, Lord, for coming into our hearts and making us members of Your one true church, the one body of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We ask You, Lord, to bless this message today, that we will tell the truth, that it will quicken the hearts and souls of everyone who hears, whether they're here in the United States or in any one of the many countries around the world that will hear this broadcast. We thank You, Lord, and we ask You these things. We petition You, Lord, in the name of Jesus and because of His blood. Amen. Well, we're going to be entering a new series of talks. And I believe this is very exciting and very fulfilling, because we're going to be studying the true church of the living God. The true church of the living God. A lot of people think they know what a church is, and when they drive down the street, they see a fantastically huge cathedral with a big spire on top. Or they see the board out front that has worship service times and such and the pastor's name. They say there is a church. But friends, that's not the church that I'm talking about today. That might be a place where the church worships, but that's not the church. And in fact, there are many, many places that call themselves church, and they look like a church, and they're organized like what we as human beings think of churches. But in fact, they also are not the one true living church. We're going to define what the Church of Jesus Christ is today, what it means to be a member of the church, and we're going to look in coming weeks in the subject, and we will see that there are really seven pillars of the true church. And I believe if your church is not founded on these seven pillars, well, you have very severe problems, and you may want to find a new church. Now, here at Bible Home Church, we pray that God will indeed continue to build on to what we've done. But I want you to know, if it were not for those seven pillars that we built this church on, we would surely be built on sinking sand, and our foundation would be unsteady, unstable, and subject to overturning and to chaos and turmoil. But when you build your church structure on the sure foundation, that bedrock that is Jesus Christ, and use the principles as given in His word in the scriptures, you cannot go wrong. Well, before we begin, though, we've always got a beautiful music here on the program each week. And, one of the things I want you to know about the church is that Jesus cares for it. And not just the church, but you, my friend. God cares for you. And He asks us to lay our cares on Him. Well, Brother Jesse Dixon is going to come now. Has a wonderful album out. And this is one of the songs. It's an old standby. It's a traditional song. And Jesse Dixon, in his own very, very inspirational way, gives his version of this song. You listen to the words, and I think it's going to warm your heart, because Jesus does care so much for you. And I'll be right back after this wonderful message and song.
When I fell along my way and I stopped to kneel and pray, does my Jesus care for me? When the long night is weary, my whole day gets so dreary. Oh yes, I know he cares. He cares for me.
Friends, I've been all around the world, and I've been in temples that were built for other gods, and never did I feel the presence there of anything but a sinister force, or simply nothing. But you know, when you come into prayer, into a relationship with Jesus, wherever you're at, you're on holy ground. It makes all the difference in the world. I remember going into the great temples and the monasteries of Asia on my travels, especially when I was in the U.S. Air Force. And they had gargantuan monuments, statues of the Buddha. I remember one that had green emeralds embedded in his forehead, this incredible statue Others were painted gold. One was said to be made of solid gold. And yet, I didn't get at all a sense that this creature, this so-called God, man, Buddha, cared for me. But Jesus cared. And you know, Buddha, nor any of the other false gods, can take away that sin and darkness, that stain from your life. Only Jesus can do that. We're going to be talking about the church, the true church of the living God. But friends, I want you to understand it starts with two things. One is Jesus, who gave his life on the cross, gave his blood for you. He reached out his hand to make you whole, to take away that stain, that sin and darkness. And when that's accomplished, when you've repented of your sins, and as we know from that wonderful hymn, Victory in Jesus, you will have won the victory. It's interesting to me that I read in pagan times how many people worshiped the old gods and goddesses and their idols because they wanted things. They wanted riches and wealth. And they would worship the god, whether it was Mammo or Marmo of the Babylonians, the great god of prosperity, or Amon, the Egyptian god of prosperity. They worshiped God because they wanted things. But it's interesting to me that I believe that the true Christian, the true member of the true church, will worship God because God loves you. And I believe God puts in the heart of every Christian the love of Him. This is the one great commandment, of course, that Jesus told about, to love God with all of your heart, all of your mind, all of your soul. This marks the true Christian. Some, I believe, follow after God because of what they think they can get. And I wonder if they're even truly of God. Now, it's true that God cares for your needs. But if that's your emphasis, you're in serious trouble. You know, when I began to study this issue of what is the true church, the first thing that came to my mind was the book of Revelation. Now, a lot of people say, well, Tex Mars, why didn't you start at Pentecost there? or even go back to when Jesus chose his disciples. Wasn't that the embryo? Wasn't that the seed of the true church? Well, of course, Jesus chose his church from the foundation of the world. I guess we would have to go back to Genesis or even before if we somehow could divine the mind and soul of Christ. But no, I like to go to Revelation. You see, I believe these are the end times. These are the last days. And God gave us some important words about the church in the last days. In fact, the angel of the Lord here gave a message to seven churches. See, I didn't know there were seven churches. Well, I believe God has seven churches in one. Oh, now Tex, you're going to get mixed up here. No, I'm not mixed up. But there are seven types of churches here that are described in the book of Revelation. Seven types of churches. And I believe that in every generation, since our Christ went on to heaven and left this earth in the flesh, at least, although he's with us in spirit, these seven types of churches have existed. Now, I understand that there is one church of the living Christ, but even within that, there are seven types. I want to read to you just two of those types today, because I believe they both exist today. And of course, all of the seven are important. The church at Pergamos, the church at Thyatira, at Sardis, and so forth. I want you to read those for yourself. But today I'm going to just focus in on two churches, the church at Philadelphia and the church at Laodicea. I can't tell you everything about it. I hope later to really cover Revelation verse by verse. We're going to have a whole series on Bible prophecy. Today, I just want to talk to you a little bit about the the things that we should look for in these churches. Now, let me read to you from God's Word here, Revelation chapter 3, beginning with verse 7. And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth and no man shutteth, and shutteth and no man openeth. It's very clear here that there's an angel over each church. Wherever that church is, God has given us an angel to watch over the members of that church. And now we're going to realize or be made to understand that the one who is holy, who is true, who hath the key of David, he is going to say some things to this church at Philadelphia. Now, who is he? He can only be Jesus. For it is Jesus alone that has the key of David. It is he alone that is true, he alone that is holy. It is Jesus only that openeth the door that no man shutteth, and shutteth the door and no man openeth. Now, friends, when I began this ministry, many people said, Tex Mars, you're going up against some very evil big forces, the occult world, the Illuminati. You're going up against powerful New Age influences, witchcraft. And don't you know how powerful these forces can be? Both in the spiritual realm and, yes, here on the earthly realm, or a plane, as the occultists would call it. All the demons of hell will come against you with this ministry. And this verse has given me no amount that I could even describe to you of joy in reading this. You see, God opened the door for this ministry. And it says here in His Word that no man can shut it. Now I want to ask you a question, my friend. Has God opened the door to your heart? Did He open His heart and enter therein at some time in your life? If He did, then no man can shut it. You say, oh, I'm depressed about the things that are here on earth. Well, so what? You say, I've got so many obstacles. I don't have any finances. Well, so what? You say, I have people that oppose me. I have people that don't like me. Even my friends have deserted me. I say, so what? God, at some time in your life, opened a door and entered therein into your life. And if He is for you, who can be against you? He opened the door, and no man can shut it. Some people say the IRS can come down and shut you up. Not true. Well, the FBI or FEMA or some other agency can shut you up. Oh, no. Not all the police and military forces on this planet can shut the door that God has opened. And let me say something else. If you don't follow God's pleading for your life and His instructions and guide for your life, He'll shut doors of opportunity to you, and no man can open them. You say, well, if I was able to influence some very wealthy man, can he open doors for me? Don't deceive yourself, my friends. God will close the doors of opportunity, and no man will open them. I believe at certain choke points in every person's life, the devil comes in. And he says, if you'll go this direction, look at the rewards that await you. There's a voice inside of you from Jesus saying, don't go that way. Don't take that path. But the world says, I've opened the door for you. See, go this way. And you follow it. And you get just a little bit into it. And you find the door is shut to true life, to happiness, to joy. and no man can open it. And that's the time when you have to go back to Jesus and say, Lord, will you open that door? You open it one time for me. Will you open it again? Just open it up just a little bit. Just let the light come in. Just shine on me just a little bit. And he will, because he's merciful. Now, verse 8 says, I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. Now, I'm crying about this. I'm sorry. I sort of breaking up here, friends. But I want you to get this into your heart. These words. Jesus knows your works. And he set before you an open door that no man can shut. And he says to the church here in the last days, for thou hast a little strength. Now we'll stop right there. You say, well, that's not very impressive. They have just a little strength. You know, friends, you don't need much strength because God is your protector. He's your strength. You say, I've only got just a little. That's all you need. Again, my favorite verse, one of my favorite verses in the Bible where the man cried out. He said, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. You see, if you don't have enough faith, well, you can pray for it. Now, there are people out there preaching that if you don't have faith, you won't get your prayers answered. Well, that's ridiculous. If you don't have faith, all you have to do is pray for faith. So, you've got to start, you see, with the object of your faith. Everything that you pray about must have an object. You cannot just command things into existence. You cannot decree them into existence. You've got to pray to someone who can make those things happen, who can make these things be created and become real. A lot of people say, well, just make positive confessions of your own. Make positive statement. Think positive. Well, the devil thinks positive. He thought so positive, he thought he could overturn God. And now he's doomed forever. Don't think in your own mind that you can do anything. You cannot open any door. You cannot close any door. You cannot do anything in your strength because Jesus said, without me, you are nothing. Now, friends, the minute that you understand that you are nothing, I'm going to tell you something. That's when you start to build up strength. You say, well, I don't understand that text. The self-esteem people taught me totally different. I know that. I know that. They taught you that you had the strength within yourself to overcome, and that's a lie. You have nothing. The minute, though, that you admit that you have no strength on your own, God will give you just a little strength. Now, let me tell you how that works. Look at that next sentence. It says, for thou hast a little strength and hast kept my word. Oh, my. No wonder there's a little strength in that church. That church has kept God's word. Oh, my. No wonder there's power. No wonder there's joy, no doubt, in this church. God says, I know thy works. Evidently, they're doing good works. Is this church perfect? Well, evidently not. Doesn't have a lot of strength, but it has a little. How does it get that little strength? It kept God's word. Now we look around the churches today, and what do we have? They have abandoned the King James Bible, the Word of God. They have not God's Word. They have not kept it. They have no strength. Oh, they talk about the Word of faith and prosperity and all of these things. Well, I'm going to talk to you pretty quick here. I don't know if we'll get to it on this program today, but we'll talk to you about those churches. That's the Laodicean church. They say, I'm prosperous. I'm rich. I have need of nothing. I can make my positive confessions and affirmations, and I can think it through, and I can be rich. They have nothing. They're poor. They're wretched. they're miserable. And they don't even know it. And then we continue in verse 8. Thou hast a little strength and hast kept my word and hast not denied my name. Oh, my friends, you want strength in your life? Then keep God's word. You want strength in your life? Don't deny his name. If you deny Jesus here on earth, he will deny you before his Father in heaven. Keep his word and do not deny his name. But praise his name. Give God the glory for everything that comes into your life. You say, well, how about the bad things? Well, glorify him anyway. Thank him anyway. How can I thank him for bad things? Well, you just thank him anyway. There's some good things ahead. There's some silver linings that you may not know about. When the fog dispels, you'll see through. You'll see the gold. You'll see the the crystal sea just on the other side of that hill. Now, these are powerful words today. We haven't had time to cover much, but here is the church at Philadelphia. God knows their works. Does he know your works? Do you have any works? God set before you an open door. Nobody can shut it. Have you gone through that door? Are you following Jesus and the work that he's got you to do? Have you kept his word? There's where your strength lies. Have you glorified and broadcast his name and not denied it? That was the church at Philadelphia. And it says in verse 10, because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I will also keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. There are going to be some tumultuous and hideous times on this earth, the plagues of the book of Revelation. But God says to the church at Philadelphia, because you've kept my word, I will keep you from the hour of temptation. You want to escape the great horrors that are to come upon this earth? Keep his word. Don't deny Jesus. And walk through that door that he's opened. And be assured, no man can shut it. Well, until next week at this time, it's been a great pleasure being with you. We'll continue looking at the true church of the living God next week, right here on Bible Home Church.
If you're thirsty and dry, look to the sky. It's beginning to rain.
You've been listening to Pastor Tex Mars and Bible Home Church. Please join with us in worship next week as we continue to honor the remarkable Word of God.